morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just good to be back with you today. God has blessed us over the last few days as we've gone through ice storms and other various events. It is just good to be connected and focusing on the Lord together. I pray that God has been so, so good to you. I know He has. Before we get into our message today, which I have been thrilled about, thinking about the Holy Spirit in our lives and just what He's doing. And so many times we take His movement for granted. But just a few announcements before we get there. Don't forget about our app. Please download the app and log on. You can get notifications. Play around with it. It is a very elegant app. You can put prayer requests up on there on the prayer wall. You can go to our different events. You can connect your giving right through that particular app. Also, our podcasts are there. So many things. Blogs are there. So check out our app. And also that parallels ebcnc.com where all of our information is, where you can download the app from. You can get that there. So please, please spread the word. Another announcement, it's been in a lot of prayer, talked to our deacons and our trustees, and we're getting ready to reboot again our in-person services. So on March 14th, that's the second Sunday, Daylight Savings Day, we are going to reboot our Sunday services in person, mask, and social distancing at EBC facility. Our times, new times, 8:45 a.m. and 10:45. So that gives us a little extra time. Those who are used to our last time that we had with our 8:30, we've moved it 15 minutes later. So 8:45 a.m. will be the early morning service, and then 10:45 will be the next service. We'll start out with that, and we'll see how the social distancing and masks are working with that. And if we need to add another service, we will, but we're just going to do those two because we're going to continually keep our online at 10 a.m. And I've talked to so many, just making a choice is which you feel best for you. So you just be led of the Lord whichever way you feel that you should be connected to EBC. So please be in prayer. Again, March 14th, the second Sunday, Daylight Savings Day. And those services will be 8:45 and 10:45, mass and social distance. Those who came back with us just before Thanksgiving, that holiday season, will be running the same format as before. We had great success with that. And I just want to thank all of our leaders and our trustees and just everybody, deacons who have been connected, trying to make sure everything is in place at Ebenezer. So bless you, bless you, bless you. I want to thank you for your giving. God has blessed us so much at Ebenezer, not just in physical giving, but He also has blessed us to be able to reach out and connect. I got a call from one of the members the other day, just bless my heart, just encourage myself and my wife and family. So thank you for continuing to make that web, each one reach one. Want to look at our giving scripture today. I just love this scripture because it really sums up what we are as a people. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudge or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." At verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." But look at that 9th verse. The whole context is beautiful. "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply. Multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Any thankful people out there? God has been so good. Well, I'm ready to get into the message, but let's pray together, and then we're going to have a selection, and we're going to get right into the Word. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a wonderful provider. Thank you for taking us through these storms, Lord. Thank you, even those that the power was out. Lord, you provided for us, and we're so grateful for that. So, Lord, thank you that you have made us givers, that we can give. And you've done exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think, Lord. Thank you for our church family, how you kept us connected, Lord, kept us covered. We love you and we magnify you. And all the people of God said, amen. See you soon. God is in charge, aren't you? Well, we've been on this journey, and it has been a blessing just to study the personality of the Holy Spirit. We've been focusing in on that topic scripture, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that topic we've been dealing with is the power of the Spirit. power of the Spirit. Remember I gave you that word, we'll just be going over it, pneumatology. When you break it down in the Greek, we've got breath, that pneumo, and then logos, knowledge. And so the study of the Spirit and just what He's doing in our lives. I've dealt with the gifts of the Spirit many times, teaching on them, but now Lord's just leading me by His Spirit to look at the personality and how He interacts with men and women. Our focus scripture today, this is an awesome psalm, Psalm 51 and 12, and I pray that you'll be blessed by it as we have walked up and we see how the Holy Spirit interacts with man. Psalm 51 and 12, it reads, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I want to read that again, Psalms 51 and 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." The title of our message today is The Spirit of Generosity. The Spirit of Generosity. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Thank you so much for who you are, Lord. Thank you for your presence today. Lord, I pray for those who are listening in, looking in, who may not know you. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Lord, I ask you to edify your saints, Lord, that we may understand you more and walk in all that you have promised for us. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, we're talking about you. We welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. The Spirit of Generosity. The time frame today is around 980 BC. And I want to go back to our previous Sundays. Remember, we dealt with the first king, Saul, anointed of God, which the Holy Spirit would sit upon kings from time to time. Things were going well with Saul until that second year. And in that second year, he decided to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is pulled away from him, and a distressing spirit, we dealt with that on last Sunday, comes upon him. God anoints another, and that is David, raises him up, and David is doing well. He is, the Holy Spirit is upon him. God is moving in a mighty way. And then there comes a time, and David, most theologians hold, he's around 58 years old. His kingship, country loves him. It says the time of kings, when the kings go to war, comes, and David decides to take a vacation. In that vacation, he's on the top of his palace, and he looks out, and he sees this woman bathing on top of her house, which was the tradition at that time. That's what they did. David just wasn't supposed to be looking over there. He gets lustful thoughts, and he has his officers to go over and get this lady. Her name is Bathsheba. Brings her into the palace and sleeps with her. Consequently, she gets pregnant. And the other issue, she's married. Yes, she's married to one of David's top soldiers, Uriah, who went to war and he's fighting. So David tries to cover up this pregnancy, calls Uriah back and tries to get Uriah to go back to his house. He won't, because he's like, how can I go back to my house when people are still fighting? David's convicted even more and more, till finally he sends Uriah back out to the front line, sends a letter, tells the leader to put him out front, and so that he will be killed. So David, he's adulterer, he's a murderer, he's a deceitful man, all of these things. And we understand that with the Holy Spirit sitting upon him, God cannot dwell in this. And this goes on. This saga, most theologians hold, is about a year of him just in denial, just trying to fix his mess ups, until one day God convicts his heart. Nathan the prophet is brought in, gives him a parable of a sword, and David goes, That man is wrong. And Nathan turns it and says, the man is you. And David's heart is crushed, because he thought he had gotten away with his sin, but God knew it all the time. And this psalm we hold, and most theologians agree on this, is David talking to the Lord. And we can actually understand why he's a man after God's own heart, because we all have failed. We all have sinned. But what do we do in that issue when our hearts are touched by God and the Spirit of God? Let's get into this, Psalms 51, 1 and 2. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Psalm 51 and 2. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." First point, in need of mercy. Are there any witnesses out there? I know I'm in need of mercy. Now, this is important as we're dealing with the personality of the Holy Spirit. Remember, David understands something. When you're in sin, God's presence can't be in you fully. There's something has to change at this point. Psalms 51 and 2, again, I want to pull out some things. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God." And then he says, "According to your loving kindness." David understands that mercy is only given because God loves so much. Yes. Ephesians 2 and 4 talks about God's mercy because of his great love that he has towards us. And this whole process is so magnificent. When David cries out to the Lord, he says, "Your tender mercies." Aren't you glad God has tender mercies? In that Psalm 51, 2, he says, "Wash me and cleanse me." David understands there is a sin issue. It's problematic. He has done something against God. He's gone against God's plan. Martin Luther, a 16th century monk, he actually has this quote which pulls this all together. He says, "Two parts constitute true repentance. First, that a man recognize sin, then that he recognize what grace is." I want to read that again. Two parts constitute true repentance. First, that a man recognize sin, then that he recognize what grace is. I'm so glad that God reveals about his grace and his mercy in 1 John 1 and 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that 10th verse, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." I'm talking about the Spirit of generosity. Are there some people out there say, "Yeah, Pastor, I have sinned. I've had issues in my life, but I'm so glad for God's generous Spirit." Psalms 51, 3 and 4. David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." I'm talking about the Spirit of generosity. Now, I want you to really grasp this point, and I want you to apply it to your life in every aspect. Understand the gravity of your sins. Understand the gravity of your sins, the weightiness of your sins. We're in a day and time that I believe that people really are sinning, and they're going to, and they don't realize the repercussions of your sins. The wages of sin is death. Let's look at this scripture a little closely. 51 and 3 says, David says, "I acknowledge my transgression." He owns it. Yeah, he owns it. There's so many people that are denying what they're doing is sin. And our society is getting worse. It's getting deeper. It's like it's going down in this dark hole where people are calling their sins right. They're justifying those sins. But David, and he said, "I acknowledge those." And then he brings this in the fourth verse. He said, "Against you and you only have I sinned." Wow. So often we think about sins, and there's thought patterns of people saying, "You know what, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, you know what, as long as I'm happy." But please understand, sin always affects everybody around you. Yeah, it is a snowball of a type. And when you sin, somebody is going to be infected and affected by that sin. But I'm so glad that the Spirit of generosity, he convicts our hearts that we can turn it over to the Lord. Woodrow Crowe, he captured the thought here. "There can scarcely be sins that more directly harm mankind than what David did, adultery and murder. Yet David is aware that all sins sin culminates in wrong against the being and will of God. There is no such thing as private sin. I want to say that again. There is no such thing as private sin. Regardless of whom we hurt when we sin, God has always hurt the worst and done this evil in thy sight. David has a keen consciousness that he has committed his moral iniquity in the full view of Jehovah God, the spirit of generosity. Are you seeing it in our society, how people are sinning? They're just killing, and there's no conviction. We see this hardness of heart, and we taught about that. The spirit of Antichrist, it is amongst us, that people are doing all kinds of lewd things. It used to be that people would respect the church and the church grounds, but now people are thieving and breaking in, and there's nothing that's pricking them, because their heart has grown cold. But I'm so glad that God's present for the believer and those who will be saved can understand that we want to stay with God. We want God to be intimate with us. Psalms 51:5, it says, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Here's another point. We've talked about this, but I just want to put in a point so we can apply it. The sin problem. The sin problem. Yes, everyone that's listening to me, looking at me, we all have a sin problem. Can I get some witness out there? Say amen. We all have a sin problem. Those who are saved, thank God, we've got God's spirit of generosity. This sin problem actually comes from Adam and Eve. Remember back in the garden where they chose to follow the voice of the serpent, the devil. And from there, this sin problem is passed down. And David brings it out here. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I from the womb there was issues." And I know we love little babies, and people gotten mad at me for saying this, and we go, "Oh, they can't do any wrong." But when we think about babies and growing up, that there can be selfishness. That's why we call the terrible twos and all of those things that come up, because the sin nature begins to come up within our being. It's always been there. That's why we have need of a savior. Paul wrote this in Romans 7:18 and 19 and 20. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Hallelujah. This scripture has always been impactful on my life when I think about it. And Paul being so expressive in putting, he said, "You know, I want to do the right thing, but there's something else that's on the inside of me." But the end of that chapter, it doesn't let us off the hook. He says, "I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the spirit of generosity, because now we don't have to depend on our flesh. We don't have to depend on ourselves, but we can depend on God's spirit, the spirit of generosity." Look at this, Psalm 51:6, 7 and 8. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." Here's another point. We must desire to be clean. We must desire to be clean. Yeah, it seems like a given point, but in life, I'm finding out that some people are just going along with their lives, and they've sinned, and they're convicted of that sin. Some are truly convicted, but they don't desire to be cleansed. They just kind of go back to it. And then they're convicted and they get sad, but they never ask God to clean them up. They never want to let go of that sin. And that's what the power of the Spirit, and when we get to the New Testament, we're going to see it more. The power and the personality of the Spirit brings us to the point of not just being convicted of our sins, but we want to be released from that sin. We want to be changed. And notice 51:6, David brings out, he says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." God desires us to be changed from the inside out. And that's why Jesus is so important. That's why the spirit of generosity is so important, simply because we cannot change ourselves. Any hallelujahs? We cannot change ourselves. But I'm so glad for this scripture to let us that God desires truth in our inward being. Look at that Psalms 51:7. David says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be made clean. Now, this is critical here, because that hyssop in Leviticus 14 chapter, and we've gone through Leviticus in our Bible studies, we learned that the hyssop is used as a ceremonial cleansing. Now, this is for leprosy. If you had leprosy, you had to have the hyssop in water. But also, if you came in contact with a dead person, a corpse, you had to be cleansed by hyssop. So what David is saying here, listen to me, get this. David is saying, I identify with the leper. I identify that I am the corpse. I'm the dead one in this situation. I committed adultery. I killed somebody. I was deceitful. I was caught up in my pride and in myself. And God, I identify that I'm leprous, Lord. It is eating me up. I identify, Lord, I am a dead man walking. Are there any hallelujahs to know that when we identify that if it had not been for God on our side, if it had not been for Jesus working on our behalf, if it had not been for the spirit of generosity, he said, Lord, it's me. Purge me with your hyssop. I need to be clean. Look at Psalms 51:7, that last part. He says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, in the Hebrew here, this wash me is very significant. It's not just a simple washing of the skin. And I know we're in the time we're washing, we're singing happy birthday to you and washing our hands because we don't want that coronavirus on us. But it's deeper than that. This wash me means in the semblance of the Hebrew of washing our clothes. When we put our clothes in the washing machine, it goes through various cycles and it's turned back and forth and it gets the dirt out. This is what David said. David said, I don't need a casual cleaning on the outside. I don't need to just put soap on my hands. I need you to watch me. I need you to shake me, and I need you to pull me, God. I need you to get the dirt out of me. William McDonald's, he brings this out of what David may have been thinking. He says, when I sinned, I lost my song. It has been so long since I have known what real joy and gladness are. Let me hear the music of rejoicing once again. In my backslidden condition, it seemed that you had crippled me by breaking my bones. I could no longer dance before you in the holy festivals. Now heal those fractures so that I may join your people in praising your name in dance. I'm telling you, I feel that some of you're like, man, I understand, and I feel that I've gone through some sin. Maybe you're in sin right now and you're feeling this right now. God, I'm just not there. I can't be used by you anymore. God, I don't know how you're going to turn this around. God, I'm so deep in this sin. I'm so deep in this habit. But I want you to know the spirit of generosity is speaking to you today. All you got to do is repent, confess those sins to him. God is able to turn it around. Even as David cries out to God, he said, God, I can't even dance anymore. And when we get away from God's generous spirit, we get into a dark land where our joy is taken away from us. Look at Psalm 51:9-10. David says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Hallelujah. Here's the point. Only the Spirit of God can truly clean you up. Only the Spirit of God can truly clean you up. Now, this is significant because so often people try to clean their own selves up. And thank God for the programs that we have and the step programs to try to get us to break habits. But please, when it all comes down to it, we really can't do it. We are so feeble and so weak within ourselves. But aren't you glad for the spirit of generosity? He's the one that can make some change. If I can just stop just briefly here, and I believe there's someone that need to give God some praise, because there's some stuff that God has brought you through. through. You just need to think back some of the habits that you were caught up, some of the gross sins that you were encompassed by. But God in his mercy and his kindness and his generosity has brought you back. And you just need to take time right now to give him your best praise and say, Lord, I want to thank you for where you brought me from. I want to thank you for cleansing me. And some of you are right now in some sins and struggles in your life. I want you to give God some praise, because I'm telling you today, I believe today is going to be your breakthrough. I believe today is going to be your change, where you can look back to those sins of the past and say, God, you brought me out today and I thank you for it, because you have such a generous spirit. That 51, 9 and 10, I want to look at a little closer. He says, from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Hide your face, God, from my sins. He owns it again. We talked about that. He said, they're my sins. I'm not blaming it on my daddy. I'm not blaming it on my mama. I'm not blaming it on my sister or my brother. I'm not blaming it on my boss. I'm not blaming it on my job. It's my sins. I have messed up. I've got issues. In that 10th verse, he said, create in me a clean heart. Yes, he says David's looking towards the Messiah, the Christ. He's before, but David, you understand why he's a man after God's own heart. He said, God, I need you to clean me. I recognize that I'm messed up. I recognize that I got issues, God. But if you could just create in me a clean heart, is there some way that you can give me a different heart? Because this heart is dark. This heart is messed up. There ought to be some hallelujahs. David is looking to the cross. Donnie McClurkin sang it. He said, create in me a clean heart and purify me, purify me. Create in me a clean heart so I may worship thee. Look at this next portion of scripture. Psalm 51, 11 through 14 and 15. It says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. There it is. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. 14th verse. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Oh God, I've messed up. I killed a man. God, I did it. It's all over me. The God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Here's another point. Get this. This is threes here. Conversion, confession, caring. Confession, conversion, caring, or caring, conversion, confession, all C. Now I want to take it in points within the section of scripture. If you look at Psalms 51, 11 and 12, he gets to that second part. He says, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Remember, the whole teaching of the Old Testament is that the Spirit would sit upon kings. It would sit upon a prophet, but also the Spirit could be lifted up. New Testament teaching, we understand as believers, the only way we can really be saved is to have God's Spirit on the inside. He's our keeper. He's our comfort. And David brings out, he said, don't take the Holy Spirit. He said, I remember what happened to King Saul. When Saul got out in front of you, God, you took your spirit away, and a distressing spirit. And I was the one that was there playing on my heart and trying to give him some temporary comfort by music. I don't want to live a life like that. He says, God, is there some grace and mercy? Can you give me some generosity? I know I deserve to be just like King Saul. I know I deserve everything to be taken away from me, but God, also know your nature, and I know you're kind, and I know you've done so much for me. And then he says in that 12:4 verse, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Confession, conversion, caring. This whole process here, David is saying, God, I know you can do something. I know you can restore me. I know you can put me back in place. As I was studying this and I was going through the scripture, I got excited because the Spirit kind of put a quote on my heart. He says, once God's generous spirit touches him because of his confession, he is converted. Therefore, he desires others to be converted, and now his spirit cares about others. Yes, I want to read that again. Once God's generous spirit touches him, that's David, because of his confession, he confesses. past his sins. God's spirit generosity touches him. He said he is converted. He's changed into a new man. Therefore, he desires others to be converted. Once he's converted, now he wants others to have that grace and mercy. Any hallelujahs? And now his spirit cares about others. He actually cares. See, when you've gone through something and God has given you grace and mercy, now you know. You know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't even be here today. But now when you've experienced that and you recognize that, now you can care about others who are going through. Now you can stop being so judgmental because you said, you know what? I went through that same thing and God kept me and he loved me. I messed up with that same mistake that you're in, but I want you to know there's a generous God, a God that has a gracious and kind spirit. Look at this Psalms 51:16-17 as we pull it all together. He says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. Here's our final point. Please hear me. You must be broken. Yes, you must be broken. God is bringing out to this point. I need someone who realizes that it cannot be about you, that you can't dig yourself out of this hole. Ed Henson, he writes this. He says, the Mosaic law allows a no reconciliation or sacrifice for the sins of adultery and murder. David realized this. He went back through the scriptures of the Old Testament, and in those, it says the kings are actually supposed to read this on a daily basis. They're supposed to go through this, and he realized there was no sacrifice. There was nothing that he could bring. Actually, it was supposed to be death. Notice, David correctly recognizes that the only acceptable sacrifice are a broken spirit. Yeah, because there was nothing he could actually bring for adultery and murder. When you look in the scripture again, it was death. You were supposed to be killed for these type of things. But he says a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God does not want a show of ceremony when we sin. Rather, God delights in a quiet softening of the heart and a personal contrition and confession of sin. You must be broken. When we think about God and his kindness, God loves it when people come to the end of themselves, when they stop running, when they stop trying to fix stuff, stop trying to cover up stuff. We're in a cover-up society, and it seems like our news and our media are always digging up stuff on people and doing things. Those who have been looking at the news, I'm telling you, everybody's concerned because their secret lives are coming out. What they've been doing and what they're going, it's been coming out. And God said, you know what? That is fine, because you needed to bring it to me. You needed to be out and open and confess those things. I was thinking about this. You remember that old English rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Yeah, you like, Pastor? Yeah, I remember that. Now, you remember Humpty Dumpty? He sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horsemen and all the king's men, they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You remember that? That is so significant and profound, because many of us have been on a wall, and many of us have had a great fall, and many of us have been broken. But please understand, nobody else can put you back together again. Your wife can't put you back together. Your girlfriend or your boyfriend can't put you back together. Your husband can't put you back together. Your mom or dad or friends can't put you back together. But I want you to know the spirit of generosity wants to do something wonderful in your life and put you back together again. That's why Jesus was so important. I'm so glad that Jesus did more than what King Saul could do. Jesus did more than what David could do. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to come from heaven to earth, and I'm going to walk amongst men without sin. I'm going to teach them like none other. And even Jesus, as he walked those 3 years in full-blown ministry with the spirit of generosity on the inside of him, 100% without measure, Jesus even forgave sins. You remember the time in the scriptures in Mark chapter 2, around that 8th verse, Jesus said, you know what, I forgive you. Remember that? That person, that lame person was let down, paralytic, let down into the room that he was in, and he forgave sins. People began to question what was going going on in that eighth verse. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and take up your bed and walk. I'm talking about the spirit of generosity. Jesus said, I which is easier, to forgive sins or do a miracle? And this man that could not walk, Mark 2:10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Mark 2:12, immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. That's why I'm so excited that Jesus didn't stop right there. But there's some folks out there today, you need to accept Jesus. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven if you confess your sins to me and you believe in your heart that the Father has raised him from the dead. Yes, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But on that cross, Isaiah 53:4-5 says, surely he bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm talking about the spirit of generosity. He drops his head in the locks of his shoulders. He dies on that cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory. And now he gives us his spirit, his generous spirit. And we can say, God, I thank you for creating me a clean heart. I thank you for renewing me. I thank you, God, for your spirit of generosity. So often we take this magnanimous plan that God has done for us for granted. Oh, the believers that are out there, we should be giving God praise every day because God has done something that the Old Testament saints didn't have. He was enabled to put his spirit inside of us through Jesus Christ, his son, that is that sacrifice for us. Yes, he is. What David said, you don't desire sacrifice. He understood. He was beckoning God's mercy. And Jesus is that mercy. Jesus is that sacrifice. Jesus is the bridge. Yes, Jesus is the one who changes us, who allows that Holy Spirit, generous spirit, to come inside of us. If you don't know him today, when I was preaching, I believe today is your day. That you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Remember, he said, create in me, give me a new heart. That's what happens when you confess Christ and you believe with your whole heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. And then that grace, we talked about grace and mercy, comes in you. By grace you're saved, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You put faith out and God says, I'm right there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And your life changes. Any believers out there, you know your life changes. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect, but God takes us from glory to glory to glory. Yes, the things we used to do, we don't do anymore. And as we get closer to God, he reveals more things that we need to be cleansed of. But I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is on the inside of that spirit of generosity. And he's there. Oh, to change us. Any changed people out there? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for the heart of David, Lord, for putting this down as your generous spirit guided his hand to be so open, Lord, that we can realize in our lives we need you more. And as believers, God, that we not take for granted your generous spirit that's on the inside of us. Lord, we love you. I thank you, God. I thank you for a new start for so many that are listening right now. I thank you that souls have been saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I thank you that the believers have been encouraged, Lord. I thank you for an end time revival, even in the midst of crazy times like this. Thank you that your church is rising up stronger. Father, we just give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, no. Say, how Wow. Aren't you glad for God's spirit of generosity? I am. He has done so, so much in our lives. Well, as you go through the week, I want you to welcome the Holy Spirit more. I want you to recognize the Holy Spirit, His movements, and listen to that still, small voice. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.